You have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do. Let me invite you to find with me the book of Judges, chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, and we want to welcome those who might be joining us this morning on Facebook Live. I actually was away for two Sundays, and I was able to kind of peek in for a moment on the service while I was away on Facebook Live. I didn't watch the entire thing. I was on vacation, but I did peek in, saw Pastor Mark as he was preaching, and it's always a pretty cool opportunity to do that, and so thankful that he was able to be here. Let me just, as you're finding your place in your Bibles, let you know about an exciting day that's coming up on September the 8th, and ask that you be in prayer for that day. We are going to have Baptism Sunday. Now, we have baptisms all throughout the year. Whenever someone makes a decision for Christ and they desire to be baptized, we, you know, follow up with them. We get them baptized. But on September the 8th, we are going to join with Southern Baptists all over our nation to have a special day set aside for baptism. And so we have some people who have already made commitments to Christ, and they're going to be baptized that Sunday. I'm going to be preaching a message on baptism, and then those who feel that God is leading them to be baptized, we're going to baptize you that day. And so it's going to be a great time together. I'm looking forward to it. I am praying, and I want you to join me in praying that God will give us just a wonderful, wonderful day of worship, and that we will see more people baptized on September the 8th than we ever have before. And so I'm excited about that. I hope that you'll join me in praying for that day. Invite somebody to come with you on that day, September the 8th. Invite them to come, and we'll have a great time. We'll get them baptized, and then we'll go to the picnic together. What a great day, right? And I think there's a football game that day too, but you don't need to worry about that. So we're picking up our story that we started 3 weeks ago, I guess, on Samson. You know, one of the most famous fictional superheroes is Superman. Superman, who most famously, who was played by Christopher Reeve. Superman is faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, and say it with me, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. All the students are looking at me like, what are you talking about? I don't have a clue what this is about. However, one of his weaknesses, actually his main weakness, was kryptonite. That's right, y'all been watching it just like me. In many, many ways, Samson is kind of like Superman. Now, he didn't have supernatural powers, but he did have great strength. As we read Samson's story in Judges chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15, we see him. Man, I don't know too many people that can tear up a lion with their bare hands, right? I mean, what a story. He tears up a lion with his bare hands. And we also read in Judges chapter 14 and 15 that he kills 1,000 people with just the jawbone of a donkey. That should be on a movie somewhere. I mean, this is a man who had great power, great strength. And yes, he also had a weakness. And that weakness was not kryptonite. That weakness was women. All right, we're going to talk about his weakness in just a few moments. His weakness was women. But what I want you to see is this. In many, many ways, you and I are just like Samson. In many ways, we are just like Samson. We may not have the same superpowers. We may not have the exact same weakness as Samson. But I want you to know this morning that we do have some similarities with Samson. And I want you to follow along with me. We're going to actually kind of skim through Judges 13 all the way through 16 together. And as we do that, I want you to notice with me four similarities that we have with Samson. Let's pray together as we open up God's Word. God, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to gather together today to open up your Word. God, I pray that you would allow us to see and to hear, God, the things that we need to see, the things that we need to hear. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Father, I also want to lift up to you our special day of baptism on September the 8th. Father, I pray for every person who is here today that has not been baptized, that God, they would think about that, pray about that, that God, we pray that there would be just a wonderful, Lord, outpouring of your Spirit as we think about what it means to be baptized and following after the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray your blessing upon that day. We pray your blessing upon this morning. May you speak to us through your Word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. So four things that I want you to see. We have similarities with Samson. Number one, Samson began with great potential. He began with great potential. Now we're going to have to go back to what we talked about the last time that I was here in Judges chapter 13. I know that we're going to kind of do a little bit of a review, but I also know that most of you have forgotten completely everything that I said 3 weeks ago. So he began with a lot of potential. In Judges chapter 13, we see that Samson's life started out with lots of potential. We know a little bit about his parents. We see there, if you would follow along, chapter 13, the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord as the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink. Eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. He is going to be a Nazarite from the womb." We see that Samson's parents were special people. His father's name is Manoah. We don't know what his mother's name was. And Josephus, who is the great Jewish historian, said the following about Manoah and his parent and his mom. He said this, and I quote, "Manoah was a man of such virtue that there was no man like him in the land, and his wife was of such extraordinary beauty and compelling nature that she was well respected." He had great parents. He was raised in the best type of home. He started out his life with great potential. We also know that his parents dedicated him. He was dedicated as a Nazarite. We talked the last time that I was here about the word Nazarite means to be separated. It means to be consecrated to the Lord's work. And so his parents dedicated him to that service at a very young age. In fact, I think that he was starting that process even before he was born, because the Bible tells, this passage of Scripture tells us that that his mother was to be very careful during the time that she was carrying Samson in the womb. And so from a very young age, he was dedicated to the Lord. One of my favorite parts of being a pastor is whenever we have a dedication service. I love to see moms and dads bringing their children here and dedicating them publicly to the Lord and dedicating themselves to raising them to trust and to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Samson's parents were good people, and they wanted to raise Samson in a good way. And we also know and learn that Samson's birth was a miraculous birth. It says there that he was born to his mother, who was barren. She wasn't able to conceive. And we also see here that he was the only person other than the Lord Jesus Christ that God Himself announced beforehand. His birth was not expected to take place. His birth was unusual because his mother was barren, and yet God answered her prayers, and Samson was a miracle child. We also know that Samson had God's Spirit upon him. From a young age, Samson had God's Spirit upon him, and with that Spirit came great power. Look what the Bible says. Look at, if you have Judges open, look at chapter 14. I referenced this just a moment ago, but I want to read this to you because I know there are some children here that are thinking, man, I love this idea of somebody tearing a lion apart. All I ever hear about Samson is him cutting his hair. I want to hear something else. Listen to what the Bible says. Chapter 14, verse 5, Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. And then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hands, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. Wow. Next time you go to the circus and you see one of those lions in a cage, just imagine Samson tearing that lion apart with his bare hands. And then skip down to verse number 19. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him again, and he went down to Ashkelon, and he struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. In the hot anger, he went back to his father's house. Here is a man of God who was full of God's Spirit. Here is a man of God who had great parents. Here is a man of God who had great potential. And there's a lot of potential in Samson's life, just like there's a lot of potential in many of our lives as well. Samson started out well. He started out his journey well. But I want to remind you, dear friends, it's not how we start our journey that matters. It's how we finish our journey that matters. And Samson was one of these people who started out great, but something came into his life. How many times do we hear stories about people who start out running the race? They start out running the race strong, and as something along the way gets into their path, and they fall and they never get up again. Samson had great potential, and we should be thankful for the potential that God has for us as well. We should be thankful for the potential that God has in us because of His grace, because of His mercy. We should be thankful for the potential that we have. But I also want you to see God's providence, number two, in Samson's life. Notice the providence in Samson's life. Look at chapter 14, if you would. And I want you to notice verses 1 through 4. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up to him and told his father and his mother, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." Kind of an unusual thing to tell your parents. But his father and mother said to him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson would have nothing of it. He said to his father, "Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes." And notice verse 4. This is a verse of Scripture I think many times we overlook. But look at verse 4. His mother and father, or father and mother, did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. I mentioned a moment ago that Samson has a weakness. And we'll talk more about his weakness in just a moment. We know this passage of Scripture tells us that he was about to marry a Philistine, and obviously that was contrary to what God had told the children of Israel. They were not to intermarry. They were not to marry the Philistines. And yet, this is what Samson wanted to do. This is what Samson told his parents he wanted to do. But notice verse number 4 again. His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord. So, what does that mean? I thought that Samson wasn't supposed to marry a Philistine. I thought it was against the quote-unquote law for him to do that. But yet, the Bible says that it was from the Lord. I think this is a very important reminder for us this morning. It's a good reminder that everything that happens is not always God's will, yet God can take it and turn it for His glory. Not everything that happens is according to God's will, but He can take it and turn it for His glory. We could look at other examples in the Bible. We think about Joseph in the Old Testament, when Joseph was thrown into the pit, left to die, when he was falsely accused and by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison, and all of these things that happened to Joseph, and yet God took those bad things and he was able to turn them so that Joseph eventually was able to lead and help his own family. We could think about the New Testament. There's a guy there you may have heard of by the name of Judas. Right? Think about Judas. Judas, for instance, was offered the hope of forgiveness. Up to the very end, he was even at the Last Supper. He was offered the hope of forgiveness. He was offered God's grace, but he refused God's grace, and he went out and he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet God was able to take that betrayal and use it for His purposes. We know, the Bible tells us, that God had it planned from the foundation of the world that Jesus would be slain. His blood was going to be given. He had to go through that. And so He was able to take Judas's betrayal and turn it into something right. And that's what we see happening here in Samson's case. It was wrong for him to marry that Philistine woman. It was wrong for him to go there and to do that. But yet God had it, had a purpose behind what he was doing. I'm sure many of us have seen that happen in the past as well. God can take something that is bad. God can take something that is disastrous and turn good out of it. I remember hearing stories after Hurricane Katrina destroyed much of New Orleans, and read stories about the churches that were destroyed and the churches that had to move to different parts of the area in Louisiana and Georgia, and how disastrous it was for them. But yet in the midst of that disaster, God was able to raise up new believers in Christ. God turned that disaster into something for His glory. You see, Samson needed to understand, and we need to understand, God's providence in our life. You know the old saying, history is His story. It's His story. He's writing His story. Sometimes we may get in the way of it. Sometimes we may try to go a certain way ourselves. But I want you to understand and be reminded this morning that God has a way of always bringing it back to His perfect plan and purpose. God's providence in Samson's life. Like I said, he's so familiar. And we can see ourselves in his life. I believe that just about every person here starts out with great potential. And every person here has certain things that have happened in your life that can only be described as God's providence bringing them about for His good and for His glory. Number 3, I want you to see this. Samson's struggle with sin. Samson was human. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not even one. We all struggle with sin. And there are different sins that people struggle with. And Samson's particular sin we can follow as we walk through this passage together. We've already read verses 1 through 3. And in verses 1 through 3, we see his initial demise. He's starting down this road that leads him further and further and further away from God. Notice it says he goes down. Isn't it interesting? The sin always takes us down. He goes down to Timnah to find a wife. And the Timnahites were the people that God had specifically told the children of Israel, you shall not marry, you shall not intermarry. However, Samson looks at this woman and he sees her standing there at the bar and he says, I want her. That's the person that I want. And he goes to his dad. He says, go get her for me. I've chosen her. But he's not chosen her based on some spiritual desire. He's not chosen her based on something emotional. No, he has chosen her based on lust. His parents, they're pretty smart. They, like I said, they wanted to raise him the right way. And so they come back to him and say, you know, this isn't a very good idea. We don't think you should do this. Samson, you did. Go find somebody else. Samson's—he's serious about this, you know. He says, "Get her for me, for she is right in my own eyes." And so he begins this demise, this falling away from God's plan for his life. Remember that a Nazirite meant someone who was set apart. In other words, Samson is a classic example of a doctrine of separation. He had been separated. He had been sanctified unto God. And here he is ignoring God's authority over his life. He's basically thumbing his nose at God, saying, God, I know your plan. God, I know your purpose. God, I know what you want me to do. I'm going my way. And it leads him further and further away from God. Look what happens next, verses 8 through 10. We read the passage scripture about killing the lion. That comes back into play here in verse 8. After some days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on eating as he went. Can you just see Samson? I mean, he's just happy-go-lucky, walks around. He sees that lion, and there's some bees in there, and there's a little bit of honey. He just reaches down, you know, picks it up, walks along. The problem is, a part of the Nazirite vow was you were not supposed to touch anything unclean. And that lion, having been dead for, who knows, for several days, it says some days, we don't know exactly how long, but some days, that lion had been dead. That lion had bees inside of it, probably some other things as well, but it had bees inside of it, some honey, and he just reaches down and picks it up, starts eating it, touching, breaking one of the Nazirite vows. But that's not the only one. Look what happens, verse 10. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. So the young men used to do. What does that mean? This feast that he is about to celebrate, this feast that he is about to be a part of, was a time of reveling and drunkenness. And so I believe at this point in his life, he takes from that wine that was forbidden as a part of the Nazirite vow. And so think about it. Notice how this thing is escalating. He goes from breaking the first part of the Nazirite vow. He goes to being a part of this woman who is a Philistine. Now he is eating of the honey, touching that dead carcass of the lion, and now he is drinking from the wine. There's a great saying, I know I've said it before, I'll say it again. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And Samson could give testimony to that this morning. Sin always takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you ever want to pay. Well, we see his demise. We see that he's continuing down this path. Finally, in chapter 16, we come to the famous story of Samson. The famous story. I'm not going to read all of it because I trust that many of us in this room have read about Samson. We've read about Delilah. We've read about how he gets involved with this woman and how this woman just wanted to come along and take something from him. And he is so foolish, he's so unwise in listening to her. But I want you to notice something about this story. If you'll pick it up in chapter 16, verse number 18. When Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all of his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees. And she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep, and he said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." Underline this. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Underline that verse, verse number 20. Listen, he did not know that the Lord had left him. What a tragic verse in Scripture. Here is a man who is known to have the favor of God upon him. Here is a man who is known to have the blessings of God on his life. And now, here he is, unaware of the fact that God has left him. Yet, how many Christians, down through the years, have lived their lives without the favorable presence of God upon their lives, and they're just going about their business as normal. As a result of something in their life that has dishonored God, that has displeased God, God has withdrawn His hand of blessing, His touch of power upon them, and they don't even realize it. This passage of Scripture, I think, is a clear warning for all of us to always make sure that we are prayed up, to make sure that we have confessed our sins before the Lord, to make sure that we have prayed and trust that God's presence is with us all the time. Yes, Samson was a man who struggled with sin, just like all of us struggle with sin. And that may not be the same sin as Samson does, but let me remind you of that passage of Scripture. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all in need of God's grace. Amen? And if I just ended this story right here at this moment, it wouldn't be a very nice story, would it? If we all just ended our stories with the sin problem, it would not be a very good story. We are in need of God's grace. Amen? We're in need of the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see in this passage of Scripture that in some way, I believe that Samson, number four, receives God's grace. He receives God's grace. I don't know what happened to Samson as he's down there in the prison cell, and I don't know what happens to him as he is out in the prison. The Bible says he's grounding at the mill in the prison. Some Bible commentators, some scholars believe that in that moment of time that Samson has repented of his sin, that sometime in there he has understood what he has done wrong. But I want you to follow along as see what happens to him in verses 23 and following. The lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a sacrifice to Dagon, their god. They rejoiced and they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their god. They're not praising the god, they're praising their god. They said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hand. The ravager of our country who has killed many of us." When their hearts were merry, they said, "Call Samson that he may entertain us." So they called out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. And listen to verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord. And he said, "O Lord God, please remember me. And please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my own eyes." Samson calls out to God at his greatest need. He calls out to God in his greatest need. Samson's prayer, I think, reflects the honesty that only can come whenever we call out to God in our humility. We see Samson. He realizes that his strength is not his own. He realizes that his strength only comes from God. And so he calls out to God. He says, "God, here I am. God, give me your strength." And God, in his grace, answers his prayer. Aren't you thankful God answers prayer this morning? In his grace, God answers his prayer. Verses 29 through 30. Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested. He leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one, his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he bowed with all of his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. And so the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. Samson triumphs with God honorably. He gives his own life as these people, some 3,000 of them, also perished. Samson comes to that point in his life, at the end of his life, and again, God shows him great grace. Do you see the similarities in Samson's life this morning? Do you see the similarities in Samson's life, in my life, and in your life today? Maybe you're here this morning. You started out with great potential. Maybe you're here this morning. You had great parents. Please don't pack up yet. You had great parents, and they raised you and dedicated you to the Lord, and you had great potential, but something came and took you off track. Let me encourage you today, come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, and you see God providentially working in your life. You see God providentially bringing you to a certain place and putting you in a certain place. And this morning, David, this is a time for you just to recognize God's providence and God's sovereignty over your circumstance. Maybe you're here this morning and there is a weakness in your life that you haven't repented of. There's a weakness in your life that you need to bring before the Lord and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I need your strength. I need your guidance. God, I need you to help me overcome this weakness, whatever it is in your life. Maybe this morning you need to humbly call out to God. Just like Samson did at that moment in time when he's leaning against that wall and he calls out to God, God, hear my prayer. God, give me your strength. Samson, in many ways, is just like me. And I think in many ways, he is just like you. And I'm so thankful that today we have the Lord Jesus Christ to call upon. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to call upon in our moment of weakness. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to call upon whenever we have a prayer need. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ to call upon and recognize His providence in our life. Would you join me in prayer this morning as we call upon the name of Jesus? Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for Samson. Lord, in many ways, Samson reminds us of ourselves. Because in many ways, God, we start out with great potential. Maybe there are people here this morning, God, that their parents dedicated them to the Lord. Maybe there are people here this morning who started out in the church and for whatever reason, they got away from the church. But great potential. And yet, God, sin enters our life. Weaknesses come into our life. God, no one is immune from that. Lord, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And God, in your grace and in your mercy, God, you forgive us. You give us a new start. You give us a new beginning. So, Father, we thank you for the hope and the grace and the mercy of our Savior, Jesus Christ.